This morning, we are going to think about the meaning of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, before I get to my sermon, I have one question for you. Who is the Holy Spirit? Anyone?
Part of the Trinity.
Part of the Trinity. Spirit of God, right? Next question. How many of you are sure that the Holy Spirit is in you, dwells in you? Raise your hand. Good. Some of us are not sure. And for those folks who are not sure, I'm going to tell you simple way to find out whether you have the Holy Spirit in you or not. Here's the test. Do you confess with your mouth in public that Jesus Christ has died on your behalf on the cross to save you from your sins? In other words, do you accept Him as your Savior and Lord? Raise your hand. Okay. Then you do have the Holy Spirit in you. And you may say, Pastor Choi, I don't feel it. Where is the Holy Spirit in me? Okay. You'll find the answer in my sermon this morning. Because the scripture says that without the Holy Spirit in you, no one can say or confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. So as long as you can say it, the Holy Spirit is in you. Okay? With that understanding, have you noticed that in today's reading, be filled with the Holy Spirit, that's my sermon title as well, is God's command, like the Ten Commandments. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion either. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's God's command for every child of God. Therefore, we must take it very seriously. This is rather a side note, and I'll get back on track. But did you also notice in verse 18 that Paul the Apostle offers an excellent way of overcoming the drinking problem here? He begins the verse with a negative command, do not get drunk with wine. But then he offers an alternative lifestyle, that is, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, anyone who is serious about staying sober ought to consider God's way of dealing with addiction, which is the Holy Spirit. He is the divine antidote to all types of addiction. You and I both know that how difficult it is to overcome addiction of all types. We are also familiar with too many stories of failure, both in our own lives or in the lives of our others. Addiction is indeed very tough to beat, but the Holy Spirit is the solution. And that's another topic for me to and for you to discuss later on. But today I just want you to know that the Holy Spirit is God's way to overcome addictions. True story of my friend. I met him in my military service in 1980s in Korea. You know, he was assigned to a company, military company, where their job is working with a utility pole, basically with electricity. So one day he was up there working, and some reason he touched the live wire there. How many volts? 144,000 volts. Ordinarily, it would kill the person right there. But somehow he survived. The way he described it, that electricity, the current, went through and came out through his armpit. And he had a huge hole underneath, but he survived. But for the next 6 months, he was hospitalized. He says he had to live, you know, through every night as a nightmare. That same thing, same pain, went through his body. So during that period of time, 6 months, he was given the maximum dose of painkiller I could imagine. But that wasn't enough. He said, I had to somehow find ways to alleviate my pain. So he turned to smoking and drinking. Well, you may think it's not a big deal. The problem is that he was also a Christian. Being a Christian in South Korea, even today, you don't do two things at least. Number one, you don't smoke. Number two, you don't drink. So he knew that, you know, he was not doing the right thing before God as a Christian, but at the same time he says, I need those folks, you know, those two things to alleviate my pain. So he started praying, Lord, you got to do something about this. Either you remove my pain from my body that I don't have to go to the drinking or smoking, or you help me just quit smoking and drinking. Either way. So finally, the answer came from the Lord to him, beginning with smoking. He was able to, he had to, he said, smoke a pack of cigarettes a day. Until one time, he was fine the day before, but that day, he picked up a cigarette and lit up and started to smoke. With the first puff, he began to cough uncontrollably. You know, if you ever had any bronchitis, I used to have bronchitis. It's so painful. It hurts your chest. I feel like, you know, you're about to explode. So he started coughing uncontrollably and he started gagging himself. And he said, uh-oh, something's not right. He just didn't want to go back smoking again because of that incident that day. But he continued drinking. Until one night he was drinking with his, you know, buddies, you know, shot here and just, you know, lift it up and just bring to your mouth and so forth. And he all of a sudden witnessed his arm twisted in the air against his own will. He didn't mean to. It wasn't like shaking. It was like twisted this way. So he ended up throwing the content, the liquor inside the cup to the table. He was embarrassed, but more than embarrassed, he was surprised. Why my hand going this way? So guess what? He tried a second shot. Same thing happened. Twisted in the arm, in the you know, air. So he knew that it was God's sign that you quit. So anyway, it was the Holy Spirit doing this. The Holy Spirit is the best antidote to any type of addiction. Now let me get back on track. Now please say after me, one more time, the last sentence of verse 18, which says, be filled with the Spirit. Shall we say? Be filled with the Spirit. You know, I used to believe that I knew what the verse meant. I knew it is God's command for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I always thought that being filled with the Holy Spirit is something special, something supernatural and somewhat mysterious. Although it is for every believer, I thought only a few super Christians would experience it and understand what it's like. For such a privilege, I would pray hard, sometimes with fasting, asking God to fill me with that special feelings, like electrifying sensations running through my body from head to toes. Well, I never had such a sensation, not even once. So consequently, I didn't think I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Some years later, a fresh understanding of the verse came to me from God, and that got me out of this misunderstanding of the verse, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm going to share with you this morning. So this is what I'm going to do. First of all, I will say what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two, how can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Number three, what are the signs of being filled with the Holy Spirit? And number four, what keeps us from being filled with the Holy Spirit? Again, these things, I could preach four different sermons, but I'm just condensed everything so that you would get the overview of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Number one, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm going to explain to you in two parts, two steps. Number one, the meaning, the action itself of filling. What does it mean to be filled? Number two, I'm going to talk about substance that fills us in. Okay? Imagine this, you fill a cup with coffee. You drink it, you know, just you, before you drink it, you fill it up. Imagine you fill a basket with bread, one bread after another. Imagine a house filled with an aroma. Imagine the earth full of and teeming with all life forms, animals, birds, and plants, and people. Imagine filling your heart with thoughts. Imagine a tree branch saturated with sap 24/7. If the branch loses its sap over time, it will eventually dry out and die, right? So you got the concept of the picture of being filled, okay, 24/7 to the brim, always saturated with it. That's the meaning of filling. Now let's think about the substance this time. What is substance? Substance is the stuff with which you fill your space or place or even person. It could be coffee in the cup or bread or smell of plants and animals and water and even your own thoughts in your own heart. It can be God's Spirit too. There we go. What's that mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It means that your heart is filled with the Holy Spirit to the brim. You and I are the objects where Holy Spirit fills. Of course, the Holy Spirit is not a material substance as food or wine that fills a person's body. God's Spirit is rather a spiritual personality, listen, who does not occupy space. That's why you don't feel it. Okay? He does not occupy space in our body, but rather dwells together with us with believer's spiritual personality in complementation. The Lord has given us the Holy Spirit as a helper in us. Okay? So who is filled with the Holy Spirit? You, your heart and mind, your spirit and your body. God's Spirit fills you. And that's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when God's Spirit fills you, it does so in every area of your being, spirit, soul, and body. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, your mind and heart and body are filled with and saturated with and ruled entirely by the Holy Spirit. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, every part in you is under the control and authority of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants you to do. It is God's will for every believer, every child of God, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To have the Holy Spirit in you is not enough. God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit up to the brim, okay? So keep that in mind and let's move on. So how can we be then filled with the Holy Spirit? In three simple steps. Number one, we must repent of our sins. What is repentance? Repentance is a spiritual cleanup, if you will, of your heart and mind to prepare a room for God to do His job. For example, if you hold grudge against someone and have not forgiven that individual for years, you need to repent before you expect God to fill you with His Spirit. If you have been lying to someone, you have to stop lying. No more lies. No more cheating. Basically, repentance means to abstain from every form of evil. That's the first step. Number two, invite God to do the work. When the room is clean, you invite God to come in and rearrange your stuff. Right? On your part, no special efforts except your own desire are required because you are not the one who fills yourself with the Holy Spirit. It is God who does the job. However, your desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit is essential. Unless you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it will not happen to you because God never does anything against your own will. So what do? Simply ask Jesus to come in and fill you with all His attributes and character. Invite Him to fill you up with His fullness. And let God sanctify you entirely. It may take time, but it will eventually happen. That's the second step. First step, repentance. Second step is invitation of God to come to your heart. Third, gain the knowledge of God through His Word and keep His commandments. Keep His commandments. In today's verse, if you read one more time, it says that singing praises, giving thanks to God in all circumstances, and submitting to each other, that will help you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then if you do these three simple steps, you will experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit. God will fill you, fill every area in you, beginning with the spirit, soul, and body. He will fill your mind and heart with Himself. That's God's promise, folks. And that's for you to claim. And that's the spirit-filled life for you. Let me move on. What are the signs that we need to look for, whether I'm being filled with the Holy Spirit or not, right? You can start with signs such as righteousness. Now, I'm using the big theological word. What is righteousness? It's not something that I'm very good. I don't lie and I don't cheat. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Righteous means is that in Christ, God considers you're good because of what my Son has done for you, and therefore you're living a life pleasing to the Lord. That's what it means, righteousness. And mercy and grace and truth. And here are more signs. You begin to bear the fruit we call the fruit of the Holy Spirit, as displayed here. There are 9 different types of fruit of the Holy Spirit, such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Remember what I said? Holy Spirit is the antidote, God's divine way of handling any type of addictions. Speak to anyone who struggles with addictions. They'll tell you. The bottom line is that I have no control. I feel like the addiction has just control over me. That's true. That's how powerless they felt. Well, when you just follow the Holy Spirit, what happens? You begin to bear the fruit of the self-control. You could say no. Self-control. Okay? These are the signs that are prevalent in those people whose life is filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let's move on. What keeps us from a life filled with the Holy Spirit? What keeps us from doing it? When you allow yourself to be filled with everything else that is opposite of God's character and everything that is contrary to what God represents, you will never be able to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because such a lifestyle will, quote, quench the Holy Spirit in you. You do have the Holy Spirit, but if you fill your heart with everything contrary to God's character, what happens? It will quench the Holy Spirit in you. Here are some examples. Number one, if you allow the devil, your enemy, to fill your heart and mind with negative and destructive thoughts. I spoke about this 2 weeks ago, using the example of Judas Iscariot, right? And if you fill your heart, allow your enemy devil to throw into negative thoughts and greed and hate and unforgiving spirit, and then you will not be able to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Demon possession is the extreme opposite of infilling of the Holy Spirit, if you think of it. Second example is this. Filling up your mind and heart with ungodly and unclean thoughts, because they promote desires of the flesh and lusts of the eyes and the pride of the world. And then you will not be able to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because once they come into your heart, they stay there and they will grow and multiply and start choking up God's Spirit in you. That's what happens. Number three, if you're constantly using your tongue for curses and coarse jokes and complaints or grumbling, and that will keep you from the Spirit-filled life. So be careful with those thoughts as well as your exercise of your tongue. Because when you do such things, you will never be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God and His Spirit never dwell in a person where sin is prevalent. You choose between sin or the Holy Spirit. Make up your mind. Now, whenever you choose the Holy Spirit, you will never regret, because it is God's will for you, and God's will is generally and all the time good for you. Now, let me sum it up what I've said so far. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means being filled with the Christ. Being filled with Christ means being filled with God. And being filled with God means to grow, mature to the fullness of God, to lead a life that represents God in every aspect, to think like God and to say like God and to act like God. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means to imitate God in every aspect and to become a partaker of God's character in a full measure. Sorry about the list of all these theological terms. But basically, be filled with the Holy Spirit means to grow up to the level of God. We are on, going on perfection, but how do we start? Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'd like to offer a prayer as closing for my sermon for those who'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit to lead a Spirit-filled life. If you desire, as I said, you have to truly desire to walk in the Holy Spirit. And if you do so, I invite you to stand to your feet because I'm going to say a prayer along with you if you desire. Would you, if you want? And those people who stood up, I'm going to say this prayer written by Bill Bright. He was the founder of the Campus Crusade for Christ. And I'll go slow, and you just say after me. Dear Father,
I need you.
I acknowledge that I have been directing my own life. And that as a result,
I have sinned against you.
I thank you that you have forgiven my sins. Through Christ's death on the cross for me. I now invite you to again to take your place on the throne of my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit as you commanded me to be filled. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.